All right, hey you guys, doing a movie retrospective.
Yeah.
Going back to some 50s sci-fi. We don't do a lot of that on this show.
50s sci-fi, man, you're always risking it. This is one of the better ones. I mean, not as good as, you know, like in Forbidden Planet. But, okay, it's pretty good.
I kind of feel like this is maybe a B or C tier as far as, like, the 50s go. Yeah. But I love the gimmick, and I love the monster.
Yeah.
There's several of them. Yeah, I mean, well, you know the monster I'm talking about. The one that was on the cover of the Misfits album.
Yeah.
That one.
My dad showed this to me when I was a kid on television.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's my first, that must have been way back in the 70s. I was probably about 6, 7, maybe 8. And that was probably about 6 or 7. It scared me. This one scared me. The dude got absorbed by the damn jellyfish.
That's fucked up if you think about it.
Yeah, and the big spider rat and everything. But my dad loved this movie when he was a kid. Because this was like the best thing going.
Yeah, this came out in 1959.
Yeah.
And it's called The Angry Red Planet.
Yeah.
I think it initially was supposed to be called Invasion of Mars. And I've also seen it called Journey to Planet 4, but I think most people know it as The Angry Red Planet.
The original version, I think, was in black and white.
It wasn't. Now, the scenes that they shot on Mars, because this has kind of like a gimmick, which a lot of 50s sci-fi did, called Cinemagic.
Yeah.
Where I'll kind of describe it in a little bit as much as I like understand what they did. But all the scenes on Mars were shot in black and white because that was cheaper. But the stuff where they were inside the spacecraft and on Earth and shit like that, that was all, like, color. Okay. That was, like, Technicolor. So, because I was watching it the whole time, and I'm like, wait, was this whole thing shot in black and white, and then it was colorized later? Because I said, it doesn't look like it was colorized. But it was, like, all the Earth shit was actually originally shot in color. It was just the Mars shit
that was
shot in black and white, and then they did a process on it to
make it red.
To tint it red.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I thought the whole thing, because I mean, I've seen a lot of stills from this movie in black and white, and I thought it was a black and white movie. I thought it had been colorized, modern.
I thought so too, but it's hard to tell.
Right. It looks okay.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it looked pretty nice, to be honest with you, like the color and stuff.
For the time, it was pretty good. We're not, like I said, this is maybe B or C tier. This isn't Forbidden Planet. I mean, Forbidden Planet is fucking top notch. I mean, that's better than an old Star Trek episode, the way it is. You know, some of you say that's not saying much, but Forbidden Planet looked really good.
What are you talking about? Old Star Trek episodes were awesome.
Yeah. But, shit, that was the Star Wars of the day for Forbidden Planet. It looked good. The last time I saw it, it still looked good.
Yeah, we should probably get around to doing that one. Because I do want to get into doing more 50s sci-fi. Like, it's not my favorite genre.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of bad 50s sci-fi because of being, an MST fan. And they do a lot of 50s sci-fi. I don't think they ever did this one. So
I would say top-notch 50s, War of the Worlds. And there's that goddamn phone. I would say it'd be War of the Worlds and Forbidden Planet.
Definitely. And I don't think anybody would argue with you on that score.
Maybe Day Earth Stood Still.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, but that's more about writing than it is sci-fi. Or, excuse me, more about writing than it is special effects.
Well, and I kind of feel like the problem, too, and this movie suffers from it a tad also, is that 50s sci-fi, usually it was marketed toward kids. So it was cheap. Like, they produced them kind of cheaply. And so it's like they would have one really cool gimmick or really cool monster or really cool scene or something like that, and then they had to pad out the rest of the runtime with stuff that wasn't that expensive to film.
Talking.
So it's going to be like people standing around in rooms talking to one another about the problem that they're solving.
Yeah.
And this one totally does have that, I will say. Yeah. This movie, it's not that long. I think it's, there's a couple different cuts of it.
Yeah.
Like one of them is 84 minutes, one of them is 87 minutes. But I will say like the first, I don't even know if it's the first half, but like the first third of it is pretty slow. It takes them like a while. I mean, for a while, they're just kind of, like, wandering around in the rocket ship, like, before they actually get out and, like, get on Mars and all the crazy, like, interesting shit starts to happen.
And the rocket ship is not impressive.
Well, I think what they did, and I saw this in other movies, too. Like, I think I also saw this in Phantom Planet, which I can't remember what year that came out. I think it might have been a couple years before this, but that one was in black and white. I think they just draw, like, little cartoons of rocket ships and then, like, you know, kind of put them over the cell, like an animation cell type situation. Interestingly, too, in this movie, Angry Red Planet, all the shit you see on Mars was all like hand drawn.
Okay.
That was one of the things that was like Cinemagic, is that we found this super cheap way to film like this sci-fi kind of shit, is like basically they'll do the backgrounds like you would do an animated film, and then you would just kind of like lay the actors over it kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then because this one was like tinted, and they fucked it up. It didn't come out the way they were intending, but they thought it looked cool, so they're like, all right, fuck it. You know what I mean? Because it came out okay. But yeah, so there was that. Now, this was directed by Ib Melchior. Now, I knew that name. He's actually a Danish writer, and he worked on a bunch of sci-fi, I think. Probably one of the ones that I remember seeing his name on was Reptilicus, that Danish Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
They did that on MST also. Yeah,
that was
not
bad.
Not a great movie. Yeah. Not terrible, though, I will say.
Stale.
Yeah, it was a little yeah. He also, I think probably his best known one other than this is probably Robinson Crusoe on Mars, which actually...
I remember liking that.
Yeah, which I think a lot of people did. I think a lot of people did.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
So basically the story, what happens in Angry Gray Planet, I'm gonna say. The Angry Purple Planet, I don't fucking know. Angry Red Planet. We were because Pookie was watching this with us, so we kept like teasing her that the planet was full of angry red Pookies.
Yeah, angry red Pookie. And she was watching it.
She was watching it, because I think the rat bat spider monster kind of freaked her out a little bit. She's like, what the fuck is that? Because her little ears flattened.
Yeah, she saw the eyes and the face. She sees faces and stuff. She knows
She's
what
like,
they are.
What's that thing? It looks like a big giant mousy, but mean. But yeah, so basically what you have, I didn't realize you remembered this. I didn't, because I don't think I'd ever seen this movie, because you saw it as a kid with your dad.
Yeah.
Is a lot of this movie is actually told in flashback.
Right.
I kind of wish they hadn't done that, because, you know, now you know that, like, well, at least two of the people are going to survive, right? You know, not everybody's going to die. So a lot of the suspense is gone.
Yeah, I know why they did that, though. They have to front load it with a bunch of talking.
Well, yeah, of course.
Because they have to hold back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They have to wait the monster to, like...
For the monsters. That's what they're doing. If not, it would be very short, which is dumb. They should have never done that.
Yeah, you need to get people involved, like, in the shit, like, right away.
It's 50s thinking. Put more monsters in it. Give them their money's worth, you know?
They're like, we can't afford more monsters.
They could, though. All they had to do is just make the scenes longer with the rat spider, and just the rat spider could do some more stuff. You could, and then the other thing that, you know what I mean, there were opportunities to do a lot more interaction. You probably could have got an extra 20 minutes of monsters.
They probably could, to be honest with you.
They just didn't know how to film action.
I mean, because once the monsters were made, like you said, you could
just
do more shit with them, rather than having... Because this actually does open with your standard 50s monster movie group of old white dudes sitting around a table... Talking about, they have this manned mission to Mars. I don't know what year it was supposed to be, did they say?
No. 50s, I think.
Well, I mean, because usually you see a movie and it's supposed to be like, ooh, it's the 80s. It's like the future. Yeah. We're going to Mars and shit like that. But I don't know if they said it was like the future or anything.
The drawing, it did get some shit right. The drawings of the rockets actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
And they did kind of call it. I used to laugh that the 50s rockets always landed on their tails.
Yeah.
Now that we got Elon Musk, that motherfucker, they land on their tails. That's how you do it.
Well, for a long time, we did think that was dumb, because it's like, well, the only reason they did that was because, like I said, it was a drawing, so they were just kind of like, woo.
That, and they would make a fucking a stupid set, and they had to go in and out of it all the time, and, you know. And if you're going to travel in a rocket... Back in these days, rockets were multi-staged, and it just ended up with a capsule. The idea of you going to a place in a rocket
in a whole
coming
big ass
back
rocket,
in that same ass fucking rocket was an impossibility. So we would laugh at that. But it's not impossible now.
No, but I mean, like, back then, I'm guessing, like I said, you know, these are mostly, like, geared toward little kids, so I think they wouldn't have really, like, grasped the nuances of, you know, we only have the rocket to get us out of the Earth's atmosphere. Like, once you're out there, you just need the capsule bit. You know what I mean?
It was a reach, man, to get somewhere and back in a rocket back in those days.
Yeah.
It was more plausible if they did like what you did on Forbidden Planet. They would travel around to all these planets in a flying saucer. That made a whole lot more sense, because you're not confined to the rocket concept.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like they should have done more... like Earthlings going places and flying saucers.
And, you know, Star Trek was kind of based and inspired on Forbidden Planet, inspired it. That's why the Enterprise is a fucking flying saucer. It's a flying saucer with some shit added to it.
With some shit on
it. It's a flying saucer. It's 50s thinking stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
But that's cool. That's an iconic fucking design.
Yeah.
But yeah, this just had your standard 50s rocket that looks kind of like a tampon applicator.
Yeah.
Or a Bic pen or something.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, okay. So what happened? There's a manned mission to Mars. There was four people on it. And it apparently they, okay, so like the white guys on the ground, the white guys in suits on the ground, they lost contact with this ship. So they were assuming like something bad happened or they're all dead or whatever. But then at the beginning of the movie, they find the rocket kind of just floating out in the atmosphere and they're like, whoa, well, I'll be damned. I don't remember if they said like how long it had been, but it had been a while and they're just like, well, we got to go get that shit, like, and see if they're still in there. And they bring the rocket back to the Earth. And the first thing that comes out, like, there's actually a woman scientist on there named Iris. And she's a biologist, I think. And she's kind of the first one out. And it's so fucking funny. I was like, this is so 50s. It's so fucking funny. She was one of, like, four crews. The other three were dudes, obviously. But she comes out the thing, like, they're leading her out. Because, you know, it's, like, a tragic, you know, thing that happened. And all of the dudes that are, like, the military police and all that were like, the girl! And they all, like, run over there, like, fuck the radiation. We're gonna go, like, see some fucking titties or whatever. I don't know what the fuck. It was just, like, really funny. So, she lived, and she seems to be okay, although she's pretty traumatized. And also, the captain, Tom Banyan, I think his name was, he's also alive, but he's kind of fucked up. He looks like he's got, like, some green jello shit, like, all over his arms and
stuff. He got blobbed,
essentially.
Yeah.
So that's, like, the beginning part. So they put him in the hospital to see, but they don't, like, quarantine him or nothing. They weren't, like, thinking about that in the 50s, even though he clearly brought, like, some alien jello back with him.
Yeah.
You would think that they would just, like, contain, it's like, nobody would touch him. They would contain her, too.
Yeah, they weren't worried about that.
They weren't worried. They're like, whatever. Yeah. Just make sure immune system's
strong. Give us some Tylenol.
Yeah. it's fine. It's a 50. Jeez, suck it up.
Yeah, spray it.
Spray the Bactine on there.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so there's that. So he's kind of like unconscious and like all blobbed out or whatever.
You don't think I'm lying about spraying it. Don't you remember the fucking Star Trek, the hypo was
Yeah.
They're spraying it. That's what they're doing. It's fucking Bactine, man. It's 50
seconds. It fixes everything.
It fixes everything.
You just kind of put it up there and goes,
There it goes.
You can't just
high
gone.
Tech, man.
You can't just gone.
High tech.
So your irritable bowel syndrome is gone. Your migraine is gone. Yeah. Whatever.
The 50s were they were the fucking trip, man. They were a fucking trip.
They were so optimistic.
Yeah. Well, they were working with what they had, so they were just extrapolating. We have this, so therefore in the future it'll be even a better version of this.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that
they didn't think that it was like a completely different like,
yeah, the
concept.
Things going obsolete and replaced.
Well, most people don't.
Other technologies. You don't think, they didn't think like that. But we don't think that way.
No, nobody does.
Right, yeah.
Like I said, well, not nobody, but like a couple people do, but
right.
Not that many. But yeah, so he's all blobbed and he can't talk. So they don't really know what happened because like all the tapes that they made of like the voyage have been erased. But Iris is okay. She's just, like, really traumatized and is having trouble, like, remembering. So they give her something, like, truth serum or something like that. She's kind of wigging out, like, being a woman and stuff, like, in a 50s movie. But eventually they do get enough out of her, like, she remembers enough to, like, tell them about what happened on the voyage.
Yes.
So then it goes into, like, a flashback.
Yes.
And I think there's one point in there, too, where they kind of come back to the present again, but it's almost all a flashback.
Yes, and then they got it. There's plenty of bitch be crazy scenes in this.
Oh, my God, so many.
There's a part where it basically it says this bitch be crazy, let's drug her up and we'll get some sense out of her. That's fucking
yeah,
that
I mean,
was
that's
basically
not exactly what he said.
That's what it meant though.
But that's
what
yeah.
It, bitches be crazy, so let's give
what
her some
what the doctor
dope,
said
and we'll get some sense out of her.
Was kind of like, yeah, that's what he meant.
Yeah.
He just said it like in a nicer way. Yeah, we were watching that and I was just gonna, and I laughed and Tom's like, oh, okay, bitches be crazy, but we have to drug her to get some sense out of her. I'm like, that's exactly what he said. Like, that's what he said. I mean, I will give this, like, it's fairly progressive for 1959 for having an actual, like, woman doctor that's a biologist, like, on the ship, who actually ends up at the end, spoiler alert, like, kind of solving the problem, like, ends up figuring out what cures the blob disease that Captain Tom has. So she does actually do shit, and she has agency. But there is still, like, you know, it's still 1959, so she's still going to get, like, you know, comments about her butt and shit like that, like, on the fucking...
They gave her comments about her butt?
Well, okay.
Kinda, huh?
One of the... Yeah.
Another thing that...
One of the bouncer guy... I call him the bouncer. I can't remember. He was... What the fuck did he do on the ship? He was, like, he was the comic relief. He was the comic relief.
He was Jay Leno.
I called him, like... I was like, I'm just the bouncer. Because he sounded like he was, like, a Brooklyn...
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck he was doing on there.
He had a ray gun.
He was reading comic books and had a freeze ray that he was really into.
Yeah.
And I mean...
It was a freeze ray? Is that the call?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, so into it, he had. It was named Cleo.
Yeah, he named it Cleo.
And I'm pretty sure that he probably, allegedly, that he probably fucked it. Like, I mean, it was that level.
It was more 50s thinking.
Yeah, okay?
There's a lot of World War II in this.
Oh yeah, big time.
World War II had a heavy influence on these people. It's a man portable, man packed ray gun, okay, that shoots out a fucking blast, a freeze blast. Well, that's a futuristic sci-fi interpretation of a flamethrower, a World War II flamethrower.
Yeah.
It's just it's so high tech that it's not hot; it's now cold. Not real creative, but okay.
I mean, technically, it doesn't shoot out anything.
It just
makes an annoying beeping sound.
Yeah, but you know that's kind of cool because that's the way a laser is. You don't really see the beam;
you just see
the fucking impact of fucking pow.
But like I said, also very economical
for
movie filming purposes.
Yeah. And it kind of looks like a Browning 1919 fucking machine gun with a buttstock on it and a man pack on the back of it with a cord. And it has the sight is just a damn aircraft fucking ring with a fucking crosshair in it. It doesn't have a front sight.
I mean, you
could
say, they just like built it out of parts.
And it has like a thumb hole stock and everything. Looks like almost kind of like some of a Dragunov. It's kind of a cool looking. And the fucking rat.
Sorry.
The rat spider attacks him, and it fucking blows the irises out of the fucking rat.
And he goes, "No!"
That was actually the best part of the movie.
And that was the part where I said, if I'd seen this when I was a little kid, I would have shit my pants at that.
Yeah.
That's scary looking.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of
especially back in those days.
If you were like a little kid.
Yeah, especially back in those days.
I felt so bad for like the rat bat spider creature.
The rat spider in reality was probably about the size of a football with legs on it. It was a marionette.
Yeah, it was like a marionette.
Yeah.
And you could tell that, but I think
it looked
like,
cool though.
Yeah, like and the fact that they shot it like through that weird filter and like all the red and like the weird polarization and stuff, it actually gave it a really weird like otherworldly.
Yeah.
And cuz it moved like a marionette kind of like that. And it had, like, weird crab legs.
Right.
And it was kind of like... You know what it reminded me of? I know you didn't see this movie, but I reviewed a movie, like, not too long ago called Possum. It's, like, a British movie about this super creepy, like, ventriloquist. Or, like, a puppeteer. And he had a puppet that was, like, a spider, like, spider legs, but with, like, kind of a mannequin head on it.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of that. It's, like, it has, like, a weird, like, unsettling
look to it. This is the funny thing, you know, Jenny was saying, well, you know, they had to save these... monster scenes because of the money. I think they thought so, but I don't think they really thought it through. Because when the padding, you have to pay these people to do acting and to show up and to commute there to the fucking studio. Although maybe that's part of it. Part of it was that you had to pay actors. You know, that might have been because it's a grift.
Yeah.
But you could have saved your money by getting rid of a couple of the actors and streamlined the story down where it was mostly monsters and shot them all on the same screen in a shorter period of time and had a movie with nothing but just monster jam-packed full of fucking monsters.
Monsters eating.
Because making marionettes, you know, not that expensive.
No.
And the background was just painted.
Yeah, they said that cost about $100.
Yeah. So, had I been producing this movie and directing it, it would have been mostly monsters. The kids would have fucking loved it.
Wall-to-wall monster action.
And it would be, basically, the first thing they do when they get to Mars is kill some shit. They shoot some fucking plants with the damn death ray. And remember that shit?
I know.
They show up and then let's kill some shit.
Well, I'm laughing. I said, they dick around on the rocket ship for a while.
Yeah, then
they're, like, looking out, and there's, like, vegetation on Mars. It was 1959, y'all. Like, a lot of vegetation. Like, a jungle, essentially. And they're saying shit like, well, there's all those plants out there, but they're not moving, like, implying that there's no wind, which for some reason leads them to make a very large logical leap that, oh, well, there must be some greater intelligence controlling the vegetation because it doesn't move.
Yeah, there's all kinds of weird things.
And I was just kind of like, what happened in between those two points? I'm not really getting... I'm not getting that. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's all these fucking plants. So they finally get off the ship, and the first thing they do is they find, like, a plant. They're like, huh, that's interesting. Pow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they kill it.
It works. It's dead. Yeah, and then he sits there like he's a British.
And then he's all
like
smug and shit.
Yeah, like, I killed
and I went, USA!
Yeah. Well, I would have gone with that shit, though. This movie would have basically been called America, Fuck Yeah, We're Here to Destroy Mars. I'd have been showing it. We've been fighting monsters the whole time.
America, Fuck Mars.
Yeah, America, Fuck Mars. We're the
shit. That'd have been more like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Punchy.
Yeah. But there was a... I could have made this fucking a lot better.
Well, yeah.
It would have been a survival horror on Mars. And it's because first thing they do is they come off the rocket. They shoot the fucking plants. And little did they know, the plants are all in communication with each other. And they're animals, actually. And they have intelligence. So they killed somebody's pookie. And then all the fucking... the planet rises up against them. And then they have to survive. It takes
like,
a while.
Fuck off our planet.
Yeah, get off the
fucking jerks.
Planet. And in the end, you know, just like in this movie, the aliens say, you know, get the fuck off of Mars. Don't ever come back here. That's basically
just
what.
Stay on your own fucking
planet. Stay on your own planet. We've been watching.
Blow your own shit up.
We've been watching y'all. Y'all are shitbags. Stay on your planet. Which is what the aliens
say.
Stay
way over there, yeah.
Yeah, there is a city on this planet.
Yeah, but I mean, it's painted,
so they
don't go to it. They just kind of, like, see it from far away, and they're like, woo, neat, and then they get attacked by a giant blob monster and have to, like, run back to the ship.
But, I was doing this.
But what I was going to say, like, there's two things where we were saying about Iris, the woman scientist, because the bouncer, Jay Leno guy, did say something about two moons, like, referring to her butt, I'm pretty sure, or her tits, could have been either thing.
Yeah.
So there was that.
That's okay. That's acceptable.
Her and Captain Tom were in kind of like a little thing, like a little flirtation type shit.
Yeah.
Now, he was played by, I think his name's Gerald Moore, and I was like, man, I know that dude. He's really familiar. And I was like, I must have seen him in some other movie that was on MST. And indeed I did. It was Invasion USA, not the Chuck Norris one.
Yeah.
This one was like a Cold War... like a Russian infiltration one. It came out in 1952, and I knew him from that, but he's been in like a fuck ton. Go to his Wikipedia page. He was in all the movies, like going back to the 40s. But one thing, okay. So he's like kind of, he has a huge forehead, by the way. And I kept like pointing at, he looks a little bit like what's his ass? I'll think of it in a sec. Humphrey Bogart. He looks a little bit like that. But with a bigger forehead and a little more rumply. But, he was a little bit creepy in this. So her thing is that her name is Iris, and she has, like, super red hair, so you're presuming that she's Irish. So he just keeps calling her Irish, and she kind of calls him out on it, like, why do you keep calling, like, my name is Iris, okay? It's like, what are you calling me, my nationality or my name? And he says to her, when I call your name, you'll know it. Like that. And I was just kind of like, fuck you, dude. What the fuck? Oh, and also, but the funniest line, what I was saying about, like, the weird, like, sexual lines, and I was watching Brandon Tenold did a review of this, too, and he also said the same exact thing that I thought when I was watching this. She's looking out the window, like, I think this is before they land on Mars, and she says something like, talking about a dark tunnel, like, you know, I thought Broadway was a dark tunnel or something like that. And he says something to the effect of, oh, when we get back to Earth, like, we'll explore that dark tunnel together.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, are you talking about her vagina?
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much what it sounded like.
Yeah.
And I was glad that, like, Brandon Tenold backed me up because he said the same thing. Are you talking about her vagina? I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly what I thought.
All the damn innuendo.
Because I was like, wow, that was really dirty for, like, 1959. Because he said it, like, real scuzzy, and he was, like, kind of rubbed up on her and stuff. And I was just like, oh my God. All right. So they dick around the spaceship. There's also a professor, by the way, who has a Van Dyke and looks, like, a little bit like the devil.
Yeah.
And, well, like I said, you were saying that, like, they could have had not so many actors, but I was like, well, I would submit to you that they at least needed, like, the two love interest people who lived, and then you needed some more cannon fodder because you needed like some other people to get eaten by the monsters, right?
Yeah, okay, then there should have just been less acting.
Yeah. Stop with all the acting.
Stop all the talking and acting. Just go out there and get killed.
Because there are a few scenes in this where they're just kind of like, hey, we're going to go out on Mars in a little while, but we're just going to like hang out in here.
The problem with the movie is that basically the story is very, very basic. And the dialogue and the personal interaction between the people is just really kind of dumb. There's not a lot of content there. It'd have been better if it was just like mission oriented. Let's get there. Let's get fucked up. Let's escape and get the hell out. More action. But the 50s did not know how to shoot an action movie. There was no such thing as an action movie, really. Probably the closest to an action movie would be a Western. Back in the 50s.
Like I said, they really did put a lot of like scenes of like talking. Unnecessary scenes of like people talking to one another.
I guess that was the expectations of the culture of the time too. It was kind of a theater vaudeville type base, so you sit around and make fucking wisecracks and joke around and talk about what it is you're gonna do. Don't do it, you're gonna talk about what you're gonna do.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, we're gonna go to Mars. Okay, we're going to Mars next week. To go to Mars, we have to do this and this and that. And we have to get from something and a shield and all the fucking bugs. So, how are you? When are you getting married? You know, that kind of shit. That kind of shit is in the fucking 50s movie, you know?
Well, it's like I said, characterization in movies. Yeah. Like, you have to do it because you want people to, like, care about the characters. But it can be done, like, a lot more briefly than just having everybody, like, sit around talking about bullshit.
You're right.
For a long time. But I will say that once they actually get out and you get, like, the crazy Mars shit... It's actually pretty cool. Like I said, most of the backdrops were all hand-painted. Like, obviously, they made some of the plants because one of the plants tries to eat Iris, and there's that. But what they did was they shot those parts in black and white, and then they did, like, a partial polarization on it. So some of the film went from the negative went to positive. Yeah. So they just left it like that. But then they exposed it, I think, twice, and they fucked it up because some of the places went transparent, which actually wasn't supposed to happen. But then when they did the red tint over it, they thought it looked kind of cool. So if you look at it, like, you can see, because I noticed this when I was watching it, because I'm a graphic designer, so I know how some of this stuff works. But you could see, like, where some of the shit was blown out. Like, it was red, but then it was, like, yellow. Like, a really bright yellow, like, in some of the whiter areas. And that's what happened. They just, like, overexposed it. But they thought it looked cool, so they were like, fuck it, we're just gonna leave it.
Yeah, it's kind of artistic looking.
Yeah, I thought it looked kind of cool. So once,
kinda like tie-dye in one color.
Once they get out... But here's the thing, though. I feel like they weren't on Mars long enough. Like, they get out, and then they shoot a plant... And then Iris almost gets eaten by another bigger plant. And then they're like, okay, well, let's go back to the ship. I'm like, seriously? Don't go back to the ship. Come on.
Yeah.
You just got out here. And then they go out again. And then they find, like, a lake. And then they start boating into the lake. And they see the city. And they're like, wow, holy shit, look at that. And then, like, this big, huge blob thing.
Like a sea blob.
Like a sea blob, like, comes out. And it has, like, a weird, like... It had like a weird filter feeding thing on the front, it looked like. And it actually, because they were like, well, shit, now we gotta get out of the water. So they get out of the water, but then they're like, oh, the dude's amphibious, right? And he just comes blobbing like on the land after them. And then it tries to eat their ship.
Yeah, it surrounds it.
Which I thought was actually pretty cool. So it's all like goopy and shit. And then like the Brooklyn Jay Leno dude gets absorbed.
Yeah.
And actually, if you think about it, this is pretty fucked up because they actually show like the blob kind of pulsating. And then, like, you can see his little body in there, like, it's being digested. And I'm like, it's not gross, but thinking about it is, like, kind of fucked up. So they
got that from the blob.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
But, like, so he gets eaten. But then, the dumb thing is that the professor, I kind of feel like the professor should have got eaten by the rat bat spider monster, which is awesome. I really do like that monster. Like, the look of it. Like I said, it was just some cheap fucking puppet that they made. It looked cool. Like, you could tell it was a puppet, obviously, because, like, it just moved like it was on a string. But I think, like, the red, just all the whole red filter and the whole look of it, like, made it look really creepy.
It had a face, had little hands and stuff, you know, so it kind of had a personality. They're doing it. It's a marionette. It's probably about that big around.
I think it was 14 inches. 14 That's inches? What I read. Yeah, okay. I heard that it was 14 inches.
Yeah, I'd have made several... creatures like that. I'd have had all kinds of fun. It'd been a whole fucking Mars movie. The movie that should have 90% of it that should have been on Mars, and the survival horror That's
yeah, and I mean, like I said, as soon as they got to Mars, they should have got their asses off the fucking ship and started exploring stuff, because that's what you would do. Like, why would you go all the way to Mars and then dick around in the spaceship, like, playing cards?
That's what the audience wants to see.
Or reading comic books like Jay Leno.
They wouldn't dive into the shit and really show an audience what they wanted to see. For some reason, they didn't think that way.
They're making
it wait. Well, we have to work if we do that. That's like, yeah, well, fucking show us some marionettes.
Well, maybe the guy's making it where, you know, back in my day when we had to walk 3 miles uphill, like, in the snow, like, for movies, nothing happened in the movie.
Yeah, nothing happened in a whole movie. Now you want everything to happen in the movie.
You damn kids. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, maybe.
He's like, here you go, here's your monster, fuck off. Nothing happened in our movies. Yeah. God damn it. But one thing I did want to say is that I was kind of bummed out that, like, okay, so, you know, Brooklyn Jay Leno gets absorbed by the blob, which is great. I mean, you know. Yeah. But he got eaten by one of the monsters. I think it would have been better if the Professor Van Dyke Beard, or Professor Devil, as we were calling him.
Yeah.
Even though he was a nice man. But he kind of looked like the devil. I kind of wish that he had been eaten by the Rat Bat Spider Monster, because the Rat Bat Spider Monster didn't really... He got blinded, but he didn't eat anybody. He was just kind of like there. And he was trying to eat him.
Yeah.
But the Professor just like died of a heart attack, right? Like on the ship.
Yeah, I guess so, didn't he?
Yeah, because everything was just too much for him, because he was like an older guy, and he's just like, I can't take it, blah. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
And I was just kind of like, yeah, you had all those monsters. Come on, why did it pop his head off? It was 1959. They're going to shoot him popping his head off. But you know what I mean? You could have, like, at least had the monsters.
They didn't
have
the technology to have the puppet eat anybody.
That's true. It would have looked really bad, I guess. I mean, they could have just implied. They could have, like, put him over like that and had the guy go, and then, like, you cut away, like, oh, God, he popped his head off. That's what they would have done in the 50s. You know what I mean? That's budget shit. I know that. But, so I kind of feel like that. Another thing I was going to say, too, when you were talking about, like, the whole bitches be crazy thing back then. The first time that you see a monster, which we haven't talked about, like, the kind of bipedal monster that looks kind of like...
Kind of like a damn bipedal...
What does it look like?
Between a frog and a crawfish.
Crustacean? Yeah, crawfish. It's kind of, like, interesting.
Three-eyed crawfish.
So you see him briefly, like, outside the spaceship's window, like, not long after they get there, like, kind of going, woo, and it's green. And Iris, because she's a woman, even though she's a scientist, she screams and, like, kind of passes out and shit. Yeah. And then they're like, she's like, there was a fucking, and she was kind of, like, trying to describe it. Like, it was this horrible face with, like, three eyes. Like, she described it pretty good. And then, like, the dude, Captain Tom, says to her, oh, but there's nothing there now, which means that there was never anything there.
Yeah,
she was like, it was right fucking there. You know what I mean? It could have run away.
Yeah, and
you know,
I'm like yeah, we're on an alien planet, there's nothing out there.
Right,
you know, there can't be anything out there, this is Mars, there's nothing out there.
She was very fainty for a scientist. Gotta say. But yeah, so there was that. And also there was a thing where she climbed up to the top level of the spaceship, which is where the bunks were, and there was this big crash, and everybody's like, what the fuck was that? And she's like, oh, I'm so clumsy, I fell and, like, you know, dropped a tray of test tubes or something, and that's where that crash was. Oh, women.
Yeah.
You scientists, you can't even walk properly. But it's like I said, they did, like, there's some of that in the movie, but I've seen, like, way worse examples, like, in the 50s. This was actually, like, not too bad. And, like I said, at the end, she actually is the one that figures out, because they have all these people, all these doctors and stuff, trying to figure out, like, when they got Captain Tom back to Earth, like, how to get the blob shit off his arm. And she's the one that actually figures out how to do it, because the doctors are like, we don't know. But she's the one that actually figures out how to do it, like, to kill it with electroshock or whatever the hell. But she's the one that figures it out, so she does actually, like, have kind of a part in it. But we just thought that was very funny. But yeah, so this is actually, we got the idea to watch this because they just put it on Amazon Prime not too long ago. And you remembered it because you'd seen it with your dad, and I was pretty sure that I had never seen it. And I was kind of like, that sounds kind of cool. And I vaguely remembered, like, hearing about the gimmick about it, like the Cinemagic thing where it was red and everything. And I, of course, knew about the cover of the Misfits' iconic 1982 album Walk Among Us, which has the rat, bat, spider creature on it. So if you ever wanted to know where that monster's from, it's from Angry Red Planet. But yeah, so it's not, like I said, it's not a great 50s sci-fi film. And it's pretty slow. Like, it takes a while, like, to get going, even though it's pretty short. But it's actually, once they get to Mars, it's actually pretty cool. I kind of had a good time with it. You know what I mean?
If you're in the mood for 50s sci-fi, there are other ones you should see first.
Yeah.
This is one that you see if you've seen the other ones.
Yeah, this one's not, like, essential 50s sci-fi viewing, but...
For 50s essential, the very first one I'd say probably War of the Worlds. Then right after that, you'd want to see Forbidden Planet. And then after that, you'd want to see The Day the Earth Stood Still. And then after that, maybe The Thing, the old 50s The Thing.
Yeah, The Thing from Another World.
Thing from Another World, yeah. And then maybe this one.
Yeah.
There might be some other ones, though, you might want to see at...
Yeah, like I said, I kind of feel like this one's B or C tier. It's still pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Especially if you really like the 50s sci-fi vibe and you don't mind it being really slow.
Yeah.
And you like the gimmicks. Because I kind of like the gimmicks, I'm not going to lie.
I put The Blob over this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but as actually the gimmick in this one is actually really good because I do think that it looks cool, like when they go to Mars and it's like it really does look weird and like otherworldly because it's like red and that it's like fucking hand drawn and you know the monsters are cool looking and shit like that, even though they're obviously like really cheap, but I think they did a good job with what they had. I think this only cost $200,000 to make.
Well shit,
but
yeah, that's nothing.
Might have been a little bit more, but
I remember Robinson Crusoe on Mars being good. That was the one where the guy, he shows up, he's got a monkey, and the monkey's in a little spacesuit. Remember the little
yeah, that's
monkey?
Right.
And they're trying to survive. He's breathing the monkey's oxygen out of a little
CO2 I remember thing. That. Okay, I did see that one then. Yeah, that's the same director.
I'm pretty sure that's the Danish same movie we're talking about. I remember liking it. I don't remember. That's the only thing I remember about it, though, is him sharing oxygen with the captain.
I have to watch
monkey.
That one again one of these days. There's a lot of... but yeah, this is definitely a good B or C tier, you know, 50s sci-fi. It's a good time. We had a good time with it, especially, like, all the weird, like, sexual innuendo.
Yeah.
And the Brooklyn Jay Leno guy, like, with his weird ammosexual thing.
He's an ammosexual.
with his gun Cleo, and I'm just like... is he going to stick his dick in that? Because I'm leaving.
That was World War II talking. That was kind of like some dude who's fucking glad to have been a flamethrowerman out there on fucking... The Isle of fucking Iwo Jima or fucking, you know, during the island campaigns.
Yeah, it was something like that. But yeah, it was pretty entertaining, I thought. But yeah, so it's on Amazon Prime for free at the moment if you want to watch it. So let me know what you guys thought about it in the comments, and we will see you guys on the next one. Bye.